Well, you know, Shelley, I know you were invited to kind of a press thing for Artemis Patrick, who's the new CEO for Sephora. That's quite exciting. And, you know, I've been writing about Michelle Gass a lot. And I think the timing was just wrong for Kohl's, but I think it's absolutely just spot on for her new role as CEO of Levi's.
Retail Unwrapped is a weekly podcast hosted by Robin Lewis and Shelley Cohan from The Robin Report. Each episode dives into the latest trends and developments in the retail industry. Join them as they discuss interesting topics and interview industry leaders, keeping you in the loop with everything retail.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining our weekly podcast. I'm Robin Lewis, founder and CEO of The Robin Report, along with my podcast partner, Shelley Cohan. So, Shelley, there's a story that you and I believe has several learning points, not only for the industry, but also for our listeners, if they don't happen to be in the industry. And without hyperbole, it is a tale of two CEOs. The good news is it's about two women CEOs, which, you know, you and I have always cheered for more female leaders in this industry,
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know why? Because it's in an industry that generates about 70% of its sales to women. So first out of the box, don't give up on Mary Dillon, CEO of Foot Locker, yet. Her entry into that position roughly a year ago was full of, you know, kind of pumped up expectations that she would do for Foot Locker what she did for Ulta Beauty during her astounding 8-year tenure there, by the way, actually leading that brand to enormous success. You know, she oversaw about a 288% revenue increase to an all-time high of $8.6 billion. And she negotiated that great store within a store idea. And this was within Target stores. And when she left, it was the largest beauty retailer in the U.S.
Those are amazing numbers, Robin. Like, seriously, that is rock star status.
Yeah. I mean, it is incredible when you think about it. So, you know, when I say don't give up on her yet, what I mean is her lace-up strategy and growth projections for Foot Locker have been delayed until 2028. Mm. Wall Street, of course, did not like to hear that at all. But by the way, Shelley, she's been at the helm for just a year, not quite a year. And she probably needs to adjust to an entirely new product category and, you know, a new industry, really. So the second person, the second CEO I want to talk about is the no frills, no pumped up projections, no nonsense, Fran Horowitz, CEO of A&F since 2017, who turned the dying brand around by simply, or I guess really not so simply, doing the work. essentially creating her always forward strategy, which kicked in and under her leadership continues to deliver profitable growth. So Shelley, maybe you can start us off by giving us the financial results for both of these brands for 2023.
Sure, Robin. So Foot Locker, they have estimated that, well, they know what they are, but it's tough to find this number because it wasn't in their recent release of Q4 sales, but it looks as if they've dropped between 7% and 8% for fiscal 2023. So that's pretty substantial. Mm-hmm. And remember, when Dillon took over at the company for Foot Locker, the company was down 2%. And in Q4 of 2022, Robin, remember, that's when Nike said that they're going to reduce their footprint in Foot Locker.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big deal. So come back a year later in Q4 of 2023, and then they said, Nike said, that they're revitalizing their relationship with Foot Locker. So a credit to Dylan, perhaps.
Yeah.
But all this takes time. And, you know, for Foot Locker, e-com is only about 20% of the business. So there's probably some growth opportunity there. But they have to really figure out not to be so reliant on a few big brands.
Right.
Yeah. So the other metric that's concerning coming out of 2023 is that, you know, return on assets number sitting at about 1% compared to the industry, which is nearly 8%.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, so when we talk about this tale of two CEOs or two companies, what a difference. So now flip forward, Abercrombie and Fitch grew 16% in 2023.
Wow. Wow.
16.
Yeah.
That's crazy, right?
I know.
And then if you look at the growth since pre-pandemic, the CAGR is 10%. So they just keep doing, you know, obviously a drop in, you know, 2020, but they just keep growing and growing and growing, which is great. And the other interesting fact about their business, which I think is helping them to really expand the brand, is that 60%. 60 is digital. So they have a big digital business.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's tremendous. So that was for fiscal year 2023. And of course, the most impressive number for me is always going to be that ROA number at 7.4%. So if you look at when Horowitz took over, she also began back when sales were in a decline. So when she took over as CEO in 2017, sales were down 9% from 2016. So they were definitely headed in the wrong direction.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. And so, and then they rolled out their, what they're calling their always forward strategy. And that's really focused on, you know, global brand growth and accelerating this, you know, enterprise-wide digital transformation. And lastly, you know, really looking at operating with high financial discipline. So hopefully those will...
Did you get the always forward being both words starting with A, one A and F, always forward?
No, but I did kind of think it was a sports term, you know, that would make sense. Always forward. Yeah. I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, just real quick, a little background. So she joined right in 2014 as brand president of Hollister. And a year after joining, she became president of the company and chief merchandising officer of all brands before moving into the CEO role. And that was in February of 2017. Now, she was interviewed at a Women's Wear Daily CEO Summit last year, Shelley, and she said, quote, "I joined the company in 2014, and it was a really tough time for both brands, that being both A&F and Hollister. And the A&F brand health was declining tremendously. So the business was actually double digit down. So it was going to be a true opportunity to brand build and bring it back. I just felt they were two iconic brands that deserved to live again." And that's from Fran Horowitz.
Yeah, I mean, she's amazing. And, you know, double digit down might have been an understatement. So, you know, Michael Jeffries, who was CEO back in 92, you know, he really turned around a failing Abercrombie and Fitch brand. Right. But then in 2014, when he left, you know, he left it in a mess again, right?
Yes.
And Horowitz was brought in to kind of turn it around. And, you know, with all due respect, Robin, Jeffries does deserve credit for creating one of the all-time greatest teen brands ever.
You're but right, Shelley. Yeah.
You know, he did a great job with that. But then his loyal customers, they literally grew out of the brand. And so they started buying, you know, J. Crew and Brooks Brothers. And, you know, he just didn't stay up with that. So he got kind of blindsided by that. And that's what started the downward path. But then to make matters worse, and I know this is famously quoted, but, you know, he said, you know, in every school, there's the cool kids and the popular kids. And then there's the not so cool kids. Candidly, we go after the cool kids. We go after attractive, all-American kid with a great attitude and a lot of friends. A lot of people don't belong in our clothes. And they can't belong. Are we exclusionary? Absolutely.
I mean, unbelievable. Yeah. Go ahead.
Think about that today. That's just like, it's insane. Well, I think at that time when all this started coming out with him, that's really, you know, that whole thing went viral. So it was the beginning of the end for him, really. Yeah. And experts say that played a big role in, right, accelerating Abercrombie and Fitch's, you know, downfall.
I agree. Yeah.
So you enter in Fran Horowitz, and, you know, she really, it was the beginning of the resurgence of the brand. And Robin, as you've been saying, and you've been writing about this for the last couple of years, she actually came with years of experience in apparel and various executive levels. She was at Bloomingdale's, she was at Bergdorf, she was at Express, Ann Taylor. Here's one for you, Robin. Remember Bonwit Teller?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, she was there, Saks Fifth Avenue. So we're not talking about someone that came out of, you know, CPG or the toy industry or anyone that didn't have experience in apparel retailing. You know, when she stepped in, she knew what she was getting into and she understood the world of brands.
Yeah, that's for sure, Shelley. And, you know, she hit the ground running, really. First, by closely listening to the consumer and touring the malls, by the way, to find, and what she found out by doing that is that the Hollister brand for younger consumers was looking too much like A&F. Mm-hmm. So she saw the opportunity to age up the A&F brand. And she also noticed that Jefferies was focusing on fitting into its current core consumers' lives. Horowitz saw the opportunity to belong in their culture. So,
good point, Robin.
Yeah, she's very smart. Anyway, oh, and by the way, she also said that they, meaning the millennials, are living their best lives. They live for the long weekend, right? Monday would come along, and the most important thing for them was what was happening the next weekend. So they prepared a 96-hour calendar of what those consumers were doing, such as, like bachelor and bachelorette parties they were going to, weddings, and time away with their friends. And she was quoted as saying, we can actually make sure that we clothe them for those 96 hours. And then she said, as simple as it sounds, and it was not really simple, that was the turning point, Shelley, that got the merchants, the designers, and marketing team all focused on what was important to them. She said they began to see a turn in the business in the fourth quarter of 2019.
That's really interesting. I really love the 96 hour, and we really have moved to more experiential retail and experiencing other things, you know, in our lives, the, what I call the life work balance, right? And that's what she was addressing, the life part of the life work balance. Great, really smart. And, you know, by the way, not only was this interesting, but they almost did a 180, right? So they actually became very inclusive. They added larger sizes, and they really made a statement that they're not only for the cool kids, and they're not only for the sexy customers. And as you said, you know, Fran Horowitz not so simply did the really tough, hard work. You could probably count the number on your one hand of the truly, truly successful brand turnarounds. There haven't been that many with this much success. So a good credit to her. But I want to go back to something you said earlier Robin, about Mary Dillon, and you said, don't count her out yet. What do you mean by that?
Well, I meant
count
that.
Her out.
Yeah, no, I meant that. Because of her incredible performance, leading Ulta Beauty to enormous success. I believe, even though she had to move the positive results of all of her strategic initiatives, her lace-up strategy had to be moved off until 2028. So she really has only been at the helm for about a year, right? So just as it took Fran 6 years going on seven, and by the way, she had many years of experience in apparel retailing,
right?
As you pointed out. And guess what? Dillon's experience was as former CEO of U.S. Cellular, McDonald's marketing chief, and president of Quaker Foods, all before creating the hottest beauty brand in the United States. So this raises the question once again, and which we've written about, is her skill base anywhere near what it needs to be to lead Foot Locker and to understand its sneakerhead consumers? You know, and I did write an article for the Robin Report last July, and it was very laudatory of Mary Dillon. I even said the following. I said, okay, so get ready for another gung-ho scenario and race ahead, leaving everyone in a cloud of dust as Mary Dillon gathers her new troops and frames out the lace-up strategy. All I can say, Shelley, is to the various competitors out there in sneakerland, you're going to have to do more than simply, quote, unquote, gun up. In my opinion, this marathon runner, being Mary Dillon, will likely be impossible to catch up to.
Yeah, and I remember when she took over the helm, boy, she made a lot of quick decisions in her first few months. Like, so she's definitely on a mission. And you know what? I hope she's going to be successful. Well, so you don't have to eat crow, but also I'm a big fan of Mary Dillon. I think she's fantastic. And I, you know, what she did at Ulta Beauty was just, you know, really amazing work.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned you don't want me to have to eat crow. Well, it wouldn't be the first time, Shelley. Anyway, in an interview with Fortune, Dillon had this to say. She said, as for her branding partners, particularly Nike, which, by the way, Shelley, comprised about 70% of Foot Locker's revenues. I find that unbelievable.
Wow.
Anyway, her lace-up strategy aligns with the objectives of their brands that they carry. For example, Nike and Dillon are well into a solid new relationship going forward. And according to an interview last March with Fortune, Dillon told investors that Foot Locker has reestablished joint planning as well as data and insight sharing with Nike. So in that same interview, she was also asked, why Foot Locker? You know, how are you going from beauty products to sneakers? Well, here was Dillon's reply. She said, Foot Locker might not be the most obvious place for me to show up, but there are many parallels between the sneaker and beauty categories. And there are parallels with Ulta. In 2013, the business was performing well, but we needed to go through an overhaul process to help it hit its potential. Another similarity is that sneakers, like beauty, they're a great growth category, Shelley, I think, as you know, and they're in an $80 billion industry, and that's just in North America. So there are tailwinds for sneakers, like mass casualization, fashion, and fitness. And Foot Locker is also a more complex business than Ulta. There are multiple banners, and it is global. So it is time to really modernize and reinvigorate the brand and to be an even better partner for, as she said, our brand partners.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, so two quick things, you know, just listening to what you were saying, Robin. So this whole thing about the multiple banners, that's a big deal. You know, trying to run, you know, multiple different brands within a company is more complex than what she was doing previously. And of course, the global nature of Foot Locker too adds a whole nother element. So you're right, you know, it's going to take time for this to happen. Their lace-up strategy, you know, it's all about, you know, kind of trimming the fat and, you know, looking at underperforming stores, you know, closing underperforming stores, which we've seen other retailers do. But they also have to, you know, when they're this whole relationship with Nike, while it's exciting that they're beefing up the partnership, at the same time, they can't rely too heavy on it. There's like, they got to really focus on a balance of, you know, other brands. But the other things I like what they're doing is they're really looking at the future. They're looking at digitalization. They're looking at revamping the stores. So I think there's a lot coming down the pike with a lacing up strategy. So I think it'll be great for Foot Locker. And I think, you know, Mary Dillon's going to execute to that high level. But, you know, it is a more complex business and it's going to take more time to get out and running, so to speak.
Yeah.
To play on your, but Ron, before we leave our podcast, since we're talking about women leaders, I'll tell you the two new ones to watch in the CEO role. That's Michelle Goss, obviously now at Levi. We've talked about her a lot. And Artemis Patrick, who takes over the helms, is the first female Sephora CEO of North America on April 1st. So I can't wait to watch all four of these dynamic leaders in our industry.
Well, you know, Shelly, I know you were invited to kind of a press thing for Artemis Patrick, who's the new CEO for Sephora. That's quite exciting. And, you know, I've been writing about Michelle Goss a lot. And I think the timing was just wrong for Kohl's, but I think it's absolutely just spot on for her new role as CEO of Levi's.
That's right. And let me just add one more thing. I want to add just something. I just connected the dots with something, Robin. So Michelle Goss has a excellent mentor in Chip Berg, right?
Yes.
And absolutely. Artemis Patrick has an excellent mentor in the former CEO of Sephora as well, also male. So
who was that?
I hold on 1 second. His name is Jean, I think it's Jean-Marc, but hold on, let me just correct that.
Well, if it's a French name, you probably have a problem with the language.
Jean-André.
Ah, good.
Roguet. Jean-André. All right, there you go. So let me say that clearly so they can edit this so it sounds better.
Oh, good.
Robin, the new CEO, Yes, Robin, the CEO of Sephora, Jean-André, is mentoring Artemis Patrick. So you have these two male kind of former CEOs that are kind of bringing up the new CEOs, which is, I think, very interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And so, Shelly, I don't know, I guess the closing reason why I don't think I will have to eat crow, hopefully, and it's, I agree with you, is the reason is that Dillon's vision, I believe, is as bold, quick, and as clear as she is, and she really is. Anyway, I believe that another Ulta-like success is laced up and taking off and poised to exceed everyone's expectations. And I do support her in doing that.
Excellent closing, Robin. And just going to say, hey, listeners, make sure you link in with us on social media.
And I hope that any of you out there listening who have ideas or topics that you would like Shelly and I to cover, please send me an email to robin@therobinreport.com. And thank you all again.
Thank you for listening to Retail Unwrapped. We'll be back in 1 week with another podcast. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast service. If you have questions, ideas for a podcast, or anything else, please contact us via therobinreport.com.